Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. I'm Norm Borg. You know, of the many Trot Radio topics we discuss, none gets more response than the ones dealing with betting and takeout. Players, this is your chance to hear from a kindred spirit. Richard Eng is a handicapper, broadcaster, and columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. His solution to the betting problem is simple. Less takeout equals more churn equals more money for the bettors and the tracks. That and so much more on this edition of Trot Radio. Richard Eng is a columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's a handicapper, a columnist for the Daily Racing Form, and a member of ABC's coverage of the Triple Crown events. And he's the author of a book called Betting on Horses for Dummies. He's got some interesting things to say about the one thing most handicappers complain about, that is takeout. Richard, welcome to Trot Radio.
Hey, thank you very much, Norm, and thanks for reading my work off the internet, too.
Well, it's good work. Let me tell you, in your article on lowering takeout, you point out that, you know, a pretty basic equation, and most of the handicappers that listen into this webcast are probably nodding their heads by now. The simple equation is that when you lower the takeout, you create a win-win for both the players and the track. Expand on that.
Well, you know, takeout, and I'm very close to it here in Las Vegas because every type of gambling has some sort of takeout, or sometimes they call it in the industry hold. But, you know, when you have high takeout, that really takes away from the bankroll of the player, the gambler, whether it's a horse player or a slot machine player or a table games player. So here in Las Vegas, Norm, you know, typically the hold or the takeout is in the single digits because they want you to keep betting and, you know, winning and re-betting that money, which they call churn. In horse racing, there's a tendency to have very high takeouts in double digits of 15, 20, even 25%. And just the mathematics of that is it'll eventually bust the bankrolls of many horse players, some of whom never come back into our game.
It seems like the racing industry doesn't do a lot to help itself. You mentioned a suggestion that was recently put out by Frank Stronach, who we know is a lightning rod, who's calling for some kind of a quadruple superfecta or something. You got to pick five superfectas in a row or something crazy like that.
Yeah, he called it at the California Horse Racing Board meeting a quadruple quadrifecta, and my knowledge of what that is, it's hitting four superfectas in a row.
Luck with that.
Yeah, really, good luck with that. I used to work in Turfway Park, and across the river in Cincinnati was a place called River Downs, and they had a bet called the Twin Trifecta.
Right.
And that was difficult enough to hit, and that usually carried over almost the entire meet to try to hit two trifectas in a row. God forbid someone's going to try to hit four superfectas in a row and take down the pool.
Well, it sounds like the tracks are just trying to make the big hit off the big payout on a huge exotic bet, and yeah, sure, the guy who hits that bet and is going to make a lot of money may say ouch when they take out the hold, but it's all the other guys that didn't cash. Their betting resources are going down, isn't it?
Yeah, in my column, Norm, you know, one of the things that kind of irks me about the way horse racing markets its betting products is they have a tendency to push the pick six, which is in most places 25% takeout, sometimes maybe 22. The super high five is a bet that's gained a lot of steam, but again, that's a bet, Norm, that's in the 20 to 25% takeout range. And, you know, we've gotten away from some of the meat and potatoes, which should be lower type of takeouts. And, you know, I'm a big fan of win, place, and show betting because that is the introductory level for a lot of our newcomers to get into the sport, is just betting a couple dollars across on a horse. I think exacta pools are huge. You know, it should be easier to win and the lower takeout, and the same with daily doubles. So I really think horse racing needs in a way to go back to the future and kind of push products with lower takeouts and not try to bust the gamblers so much with these high takeout wagers.
Well, you argue that the simpler bets, if the takeout was lowered on that, you'd get higher churn, of course. Mm-hmm. There's a track in Pennsylvania, Pocono Downs. They've announced they're going to lower their takeouts on some of their exotic bets. So some of what you and others have been talking about seems to be getting through.
Well, I'm in favor of that.
Yeah.
Also, I got an email, I guess someone in New York, Tioga Downs.
Sure.
I'm not that familiar with it, but I did get an email that they have very low take out on a lot of their wagers, so I certainly applaud that.
Yeah, that's a track that's owned by a gentleman by the name of Jeff Gorrell, and he's a very innovative individual in our industry. You talk about the idea of betting exchanges, which are slowly coming into this side of the pond. I think it's a great idea, but here's my question. As an industry, mm-hmm. we're trying to bring new fans to the track. Now, if a new fan shows up, he's trying to make a simple bet, as you said. The win play shows, the exact, it's the daily doubles. And he sees something that's reminiscent of, you know, the New York Stock Exchange floor. You know, we get enough complaints about handicapping and racing being too complicated. Wouldn't that further, pardon the expression, complicate things?
Well, you know, my experience with betting exchanges, quite frankly, is not personal because I have not traveled overseas or you know, bet over the internet with Betfair or companies that offer exchange betting. But I've certainly done a lot of reading and research about the product, and what it is basically is bringing people to bet against each other versus betting against the house. And you know, a simple comparison would be an example would be, for example, say if Zenyatta was running in a stakes race and someone wanted to post odds for Zenyatta winning or Zenyatta losing, well, you could take either side of that bet and, you know, bet against someone else. And you know, I believe where I really like the idea is the fact that they have built-in safeguards into the system to try to prevent anyone from trying to scam, you know, betting a horse to lose. There's a paper trail of wagers because it's account wagering, so every bet has a trail of who made it, you know, what the amount of the bet was, when it was bet, things like that, and you can link the bets together. So if something is a little untowards, there are red flags that come up, and Betfair has actually had situations not only in horse racing but in gambling and some other sports like tennis and things like that where the red flag has gone up, and they have deals where they notify officials with the organizations that something may be awry.
Now that you mention it and listening to you explain that, within the context of trying to get new fans as well as keep the old ones happy, that might not be a bad idea because the more experienced handicappers, they can play the more sophisticated types of bets like a Betfair, you know, that sort of thing. The newcomers can still do their win, place, and show because I got to tell you, the sophisticated handicappers, and they're the ones that will post messages on our website. You know, it doesn't matter what the story is. We could do a story on yearling sales. They're going to come on and post about, well, why don't you lower the takeout? It's they're just focused on that. But, you know, they can do that. But the first-time player, the once-a-year player, they're going to want to cash their $2 exacta, and I don't think they're going to really complain about the hold.
Well, you know, I do get emails, you know, arguing that horse players don't pay attention to takeout, and they'll bet tracks with high takeout or wagers with high takeout and not think anything of it. But still, Norm, there's really a hidden damage to, you know, when the racetracks do that and the bet takers do that, because, you know, if you bet a horse and the horse pays $8 to win, but if you had a lower takeout, the horse might pay $8.40 or $8.60, you keep doing that transaction over and over and over again where you're going to bust that player even though he may not know it. But, you know, if he was betting at a lower takeout, he would stay in action longer. So, you know, it's really a self-fulfilling prophecy when you have high takeouts that all you're going to do is basically take all the money out of your players and not give them a fair return.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's talk about fractional wagering. How does that work? Or is it basically what we've been talking about to this point?
Well, fractional wagering I actually have the least experience about, but I was told that people can actually make a wager to win a certain amount of money. And there's software in place where it kind of fractionalized the wager so that you could just bet, you know, $20 with the idea of winning so much or reverse. So it's really something that I have been told is user-friendly instead of having to, you know, say if you're betting a superfecta and you're trying to figure out a part wheel and how much it'll cost you and how much it'll pay, you could actually, you know, do a fractional wager. Say, I want to invest $10 in the superfecta, and here's the combination I want to bet, and it kind of fractionalizes it. It gives you a margin as far as what your return is going to be based upon. So it's something that is meant to be easier for the better.
Okay, well, it would be for the more sophisticated better again for the casual one, and those are the ones we really got to try and bring back or bring to the track. But basically what you're saying is it's a good idea for the horse racing industry, all breeds, to try and do it in volume instead of just trying to go for the big hit with the big takeouts on the big bets.
Yeah, and you know, I've gotten some emails, Norm, about my column saying that you know, why don't you ask for 10% takeout on the pick six and the pick fives and pick fours and things like that? And I would be thrilled just to get it done with the win, place, and show wagers. And you know, one thing about our game, Norm, is if you get someone who's going to handicap individual races and try to find winners, there's a chance they'll start linking horses and races together to go into the double or the pick three or the pick four, mm-hmm. or go into the exacta or the trifecta. And actually, I wouldn't mind if they just did it as a tiered takeout. For example, 10% for win, play, show, 12.5% for two horse or two race bets, maybe 15% for three horse or three race bets. You know, because, you know, one advantage of betting, for example, a pick four is that you only pay the takeout once. So even though you are paying a higher takeout, you're only paying it one time versus a parlay or something like that. So, and the racetracks are in business to make a profit. So, you know, I don't want to take all the profit margins from them.
And here's the argument that the racetracks will give, and I can tell you this because I work for one. They're going to say, look, you know, it costs us so much money just to put a card of racing on. The handles aren't there like they used to be, so we got to make our money from somewhere. And you know, they don't charge for admission anymore, and so on and so forth. So that's the argument from racetracks. What would be a counter to that?
You know, one thing there's as far as I would talk about, as far as the cost of doing business for horse racing, you know, I think sometimes in this town, people compare the cost of getting involved in horse racing with casino gambling, where, like you just said, there's no charge for parking, there's no charge for admission and things like that. But, you know, in my book, Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies, I really think a more fair comparison, since we are an entertainment sport, Norm, is to compare it actually to going to a baseball game, mm-hmm. or going to a basketball game, or going to a football game. If you took a couple of people to a baseball game, you start adding up the cost of parking, program, tickets, refreshments, drinks, you know, you're paying through the nose, quite right. frankly, before the night or the day is over. And so I think that, in a way, I find that to be a more fair comparison versus comparing it to, say, walking into a casino where, you know, everything is scot-free and you actually get free drinks, just tip the waitress a buck or something.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting proposition, and it's one that has been gathering steam amongst the players, the serious players in the racing game, regardless of the breed. Seems to be catching on. Richard Eng, this has been very enlightening. Thank you so much for joining us on Trot Radio.
Well, Norm, I really appreciate the time, and maybe I'm old school, old-fashioned in my way of thinking, but, you know, many years ago, the straight pools, win, place, and show were, you know, a vast majority of the betting, and the
sure.
exotics were the smaller pools. Now it's the complete opposite, and, you know, maybe that's part of the problem in racing, where back in the 60s and 70s, most people were betting straight. Now they're betting exotics, and over the 40 years, we have just tapped out people.
Yeah, we're pricing ourselves out of existence. Yeah, well, let's hope that doesn't happen. You are welcome back on this program anytime, sir, and we look forward to having you on sometime soon again. Richard Eng, thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Norm. Enjoy the time.